Teach Me to Code, Episode 30, Agile Estimations. Hey, everybody, and welcome back to the Teach Me to Code podcast. This is your host, Charles Max Wood, and this week we're going to be talking about estimating your workload or your backlog. But before we get started, I want to remind you that this podcast is sponsored by New Relic. You can check them out at newrelic.com. They are the greatest application monitoring tool out there, and they just do a great job. I mean, I use them on my applications, and they just give you so much feedback on where your problem areas are, where your performance problems are, and really just give you a good feel for how your application is performing. So, again, I just recommend that you go check them out at newrelic.com. Now, before we get into this, I do want to remind you of a few other things. You can leave feedback for the podcast by emailing Chuck at teachmetocode.com. That's my personal email address. That'll go directly to me. And, you know, I really appreciate the feedback. You can also leave a review in iTunes, and I really appreciate that as well. It helps the show, helps people find us, and you know, recognize what we're doing. Also, if you're interested, we do have a series of screencasts that you can go pick up. Just go into iTunes and search for Teach Me to Code. You can't miss them. I believe they still say that they're by Eric Berry, and I need to change that, but you know, they're the ones, they're videos. You can also go to the site, teachmetocode.com, and you can download high-definition versions of the screencasts. All right, so let's get into agile estimations. There's a lot to talk about. I mean, it's an interesting problem. I remember when I was a team lead, we had people asking how long things were going to take before they were done. And, you know, it was a problem that we addressed in a couple of different ways, none of which really worked. And then we came across this estimating thing. And this is something that we do at my current job now as well. Estimating, and I'll get into what estimating is. Estimating, basically what it is you take everything that you need to do and you break it down into what we call stories. Now stories aren't just tasks. They're actually kind of a collection of tasks. But they're, you know, they should be relatively simple, to implement. So they're small things. You can kind of think of them as tasks, but typically they represent an entire feature for your application. So anyway, then what you do is you estimate how long it's going to take for each one. And then what you can do is you can total up the estimates and you can figure out how long your application's or your implementation's going to take. Now, there's a little more involved than this because most people are pretty bad at estimating just out of hand. The example that they gave at the Agile Roots conference, and this was by Lee Henson, he works for version1.com, was that, you know, we were in this big auditorium and he said, well, how long would it take if, you know, you had to come in here and paint this whole auditorium? Now there were windows all around it and, you know, all of this, you know, molding and things like that, that you would have had to, you paint around and work around. And so he asked, and I mean, people were estimating anything from 20 hours to, weeks. And, you know, it was interesting that, you know, when people were trying to figure out how many hours it was going to take to do a specific piece of work, it was really hard for people to nail that down. However, then he said, okay, well, on a scale of 1 to 10, how complicated would it be to paint a room like this? And everybody was in the same ballpark, 8, 9, 10. And there were only a few tens. I think most people said 8 or 9. And that's kind of the idea behind estimating, is that if you can abstract away the hours and then come back and figure out how it all hangs together, then, you know, that really is what your estimations do. And we'll get into a little bit of that. When you're talking about on a scale of 1 to 10 or whatever, most agile shops call those points or story points. And there are a couple of other scales that people use for story points. One is t-shirt sizes. And so basically what happens is, you know, everybody kind of agrees on what type of task is a small. And then you kind of go up from there. Okay, so small, medium, large, extra large, double X, triple X, you know, whatever it takes. It's nice because it doesn't pin you down to a specific amount of time. And if you have project people or other people, you know, getting involved, then it's real nice for them because they can typically pick out these ones are the big ones and these ones are the small ones, rather than trying to figure out this one's going to take, you know, 2 weeks and this one's going to take 3 hours. So, I mean, that's kind of nice with the t-shirt scales. The other ones are, you know, story points, like we said, and then estimating in hours. Now, there are a couple of different scales that you can use for points or hours. And the most common, I think, is Fibonacci. So you have 1, 1, 2, 3, 5, 8, 13, 21, you know, goes up from there. And so typically then people can estimate, you know, this is a 1 point, 2 point, 3 point, 5 point, 8 point task. I've also seen it logarithmic. So you have, and usually we're talking powers of 2, so it's 1, 2, 4, 8, 16, 32. And that's the scale that we use where I work. Now, I've also seen people estimate stuff in hours, 1 hour, 2 hours, 4 hours, 8 hours. And the way that we generally attack things at my job is something that my boss picked up from a presentation done by a company called Menlo. And so what they do is they follow the story points theory to a point in that they, you know, they have estimates 1, 2, 4, 8, 16, 32, 64, you know. And so what you do is you take the coefficient, or, you know, yeah, I think it's a coefficient, it's a mathematical term. It's the power of 2 that you're going to. So 1 is 2 hours, 2 is 4 hours, 3 is 8 hours, 4 is 16 hours, and 5 is 32 hours. And 32 hours is what you would expect to get done in a week if you were working 40 hours. And I still think that's a little optimistic, given any office environment that I've worked in with all the distractions and meetings and everything else. But I guess they have managed to keep all of that to 8 hours a week. And my experience is that it's at least 10. But, you know, anyway, so you estimate it out that way. And then the 1, 2, 3. Anyway, the 1, 2 to the 1 is 2, but that's 2 hours. So 2 to the 2 is, or 2 squared is 4. So that's 4 hours. That's half a day. A 3 is a full day. 4 is 2 to 2.5 days. And 5 is a week. So anyway, that's kind of the approach that they take. So, you know, you have your story points, but they translate directly to hours. The other way that people generally will translate their points to hours is that they will vote the points as complexity points on the story. So they say, well, this one is a 3 in complexity. And again, like the t-shirts, you have to kind of establish what a 1 is and what a 2 is. And I think once you kind of get the scale figured out, then you go, okay, so this is a 3 and this is a 5 and this is an 8 in complexity. And then what happens is you put those up on your chart, and then you start charting how quickly you're getting these done. So if you're getting 1 point, well, let's say you get like 30 points done in a week. Well, then you can track that as velocity and, you know, the speed at which you get these stories done. And then what you can do is you can say, okay, well, given our current velocity, if we maintain that and the rest of this feature set is another 60 points, then we know that we're going to get it done in 2 iterations or 2 weeks if your iterations are a week long. Now I do want to point out a few things with stories. Large stories are really hard to estimate accurately. It's also hard to estimate stories if you don't have enough information to really understand how they're going to work. Now that doesn't mean you have to know every single detail of how they'll be implemented, but you do need to understand, enough of the underlying technology and the library that you're going to use or whatever, you know, whatever resources you're going to have, so that you can accurately say, okay, well, this is going to take this amount of time. If you're estimating bugs, and, you know, different people have the different take on this. Some people just say, well, you know, bugs are just part of the process. Don't estimate them, just fix them. You know, and others, you know, they go to great lengths to avoid bugs. And so, you know, that's why they take that approach where they just don't estimate them, they just fix them. But if you are going to estimate bugs, they're really hard to estimate. And the reason is because generally you might know the area of code you need to go and look at, but the more complicated your system is, the more difficult it is to pin down exactly what the bug is. And in that case, it can make it really hard for you to accurately estimate how long it's going to fix, because typically you don't know what's causing the bug. It's also nice if you can estimate sets of work that have to get done together, you know, different sets of features that form some overall idea in your code. So, for example, if you have, and I'm just going to pull something out, on the application that we work on at work, crimereports.com, you know, we have a whole mapping functionality for the crimes that occur in the areas that we're covering. So, you know, we can have several features of that. You know, it shows these specific types of crimes in this way. And, you know, maybe you can zoom in, or you can pan left, or you can, you know, all these different things. And so, you know, if you can estimate all those together and then work through them all together, you know, a lot of times then you kind of get that idea of everybody's working together to accomplish this goal. And so that's kind of nice. So typically what you want to do is you want to get the small stories that are well-defined. And if you can do that, then it's really easy to estimate them. Another thing that you want to keep in mind is that if this is stuff that you're going to be working on, you know, more than, I'd say, a month out, it's really hard to estimate where that is, because, you know, things change. And a lot of times, a month out, you wind up working on stuff that you didn't realize you were going to be working on a month ago. And so I highly recommend that you only estimate, you know, a few weeks out. If you have 2 week iterations, that's two iterations. If you're working 1 week iterations, I still don't recommend you do more than two or three iterations, because by the time you get through the iteration or sprint and you get onto the next iteration or sprint, you know, things might just change. Let's see. One other thing is that you shouldn't have people voting who aren't going to be doing the work. Now, this varies sometimes. Sometimes you get other people involved who want to have a say. But ultimately, if they don't understand what's involved in the work, then it's really hard for them to vote accurately. And in a lot of cases, they'll vote according to their agenda rather than according to what can actually get done. And so, you know, you should have your developers, you know, if you have experienced QA that can kind of get a feel on this thing, maybe you'll let them vote. But ultimately, the people who are doing the work should be the people who are voting. And this way you can set your timelines and set your deadlines so that, you know, it's not the boss and it's not the marketing folks and it's not anybody else setting these deadlines and making promises that ultimately the development team can't keep. One other thing is, after you have estimated the tasks, you know, you can prioritize them and then I like the idea of letting people choose the tasks that they're going to work on. You know, now you may have experts in certain areas and you may want them to work on specific things, you know, and you may push that a little bit, but ultimately letting people self-select has always seemed to be the right way to go, because then people are happy with what they're working on. They generally get it done more quickly and, you know, it's an accomplishment for them. Now, another thing that you need to keep in mind is that some of the tasks that you're estimating depend on outside groups. For example, you may need images or some kind of layout or, you know, other information from a group that's not in development, you know, from the design staff or marketing staff. If that's the case, then you need to take into account that needs to be done. And, you know, I've seen different approaches to this. Some actually estimate those tasks and then hand them off. And others just say, well, we're just going to estimate our portion of this, and then we're going to make sure that the powers that be know that we can't do this until we have feedback from this other group. And I think as long as you have good communication, either method can work. If you don't have good communication with these outside groups or with your management, I don't know that it's going to really make that big a difference, because either one has its disadvantages. I'm not going to go into that right now, but I really want to point out that if you do have a dependency for another group, you need to at least be aware and point it out so that, you know, you can make sure that when something needs to be done, it can get done because the prerequisite tasks from the other groups are completed. Again, estimate smaller items. You know, I'm not saying break everything down so that it's, you know, type this line of code or, you know, attach to Facebook or something like that, you know. I mean, if you don't need that kind of you know, that kind of detail, then don't put it into the story. Just make the story get this information from this API rather than, you know, a story that's connect to the, you know, authenticate to the API, request information, process information, close connection. You know, it's kind of ridiculous to go to that extreme, but, you know, if you need to connect to a certain API and manage stuff, then, you know, make that into all one task. You know, don't make it part of the, you know, the larger scheme that's going to take, you know, 2-3 weeks, you know, when ultimately you just need to get the information and make it available to whatever service is going to consume it. Now, another thing that really helps if you're estimating is if somebody's done the kind of work that you're doing before. You know, so if somebody has connected to a specific set of APIs or somebody has dealt with a library that does whatever it is that you need to do, then, you know, you may want to just lend a little more weight to what they have to say and either have them inform the team so the entire team can vote, or, you know, just let them kind of vote it out and then you can discuss the differences. One other thing with these estimates is that in a lot of cases, you'll estimate several things that are, they're not necessarily related, but they're similar types of tasks doing similar types of things. And if you're doing estimations on those things and, the first one takes twice as long as you thought it would, and so you realize that the next one that you do is also going to take twice as long, it's okay to go back and revisit your estimates and say, okay, well, you know, in general, we feel like we need to reestimate this because it's, you know, we were clearly off on the last estimate of something like this. Now, one other thing that I want to talk about is, you know, a lot of times you'll get widely varying estimates. So you'll get if you're doing story points, for example, using the Fibonacci, you know, you might get one or two guys that think that the story is a 2, and you'll get a bunch of other guys that think the story is a 5 or an 8. And if you have that widely varying of estimates, then rather than averaging it or trying to figure it out, what you need to do is you need to talk it through. Because obviously you have two different groups of people that have different understandings regarding the same task. And so what you need to do is you need to sit down, you need to figure out why one group voted one way and one group voted the other way, and, you know, see if you can resolve the difference so that you understand better what the task entails. Because a lot of times the group that's voting 5 may see something, you know, a gotcha that group 2 didn't. Or maybe group 5 just doesn't understand what's involved in the task, and so they look at it and go, well, that will take me at least a 5, whatever a 5 means to you. You know, and the other group, you know, may have a different perspective and may know, well, there's a library that does 90% of the work, so it's a 2 because we only have to do 10% of the work. One other thing that I want to talk about is estimation tools. And there are several out there. I think the most common is actually a deck of estimation cards. And at the Agile Roots conference, I actually picked up two sets of estimation cards. Anyway, and one of them contained Fibonacci and t-shirt sizes and, you know, a few other things. I think the other one was just Fibonacci's. But, you know, ultimately, you know, what it is it's kind of like a deck of playing cards. They're about the same size. They, you know, they feel about the same. But they have the Fibonacci sequence on them. So they have 1, 2, 3, 5, 8, 13, and I think from there it was like 20, 40, 80, or 20, 40, 60, 100, or something like that. And, you know, and you kind of get the idea there. But then what it is, you know, when you're voting, you know, you just kind of, okay, so we're going to vote on this, count of 3, 1, 2, 3, and everyone puts their card up so everyone can see it. Or you can put your cards into a pile and then you flip it over, and, you know, that way it's anonymous. And sometimes if there's a lot of finger pointing or blame that goes on there, then you can, you know, you can throw the cards into the middle, have somebody just flip them all over, and then nobody gets attacked for their estimate. You know, but whatever the case is, you know, you can do it either way. And the nice thing is then you kind of get this, you know, you can get the consensus from the group, of people that have to build it. The way we do it where I work, since we're not using the Fibonacci sequence, and so we can't use the decks that we have, is we just hold up one or two hands with an estimate anywhere from 1 to 8. And we just hold up the right number of fingers, and that's pretty much it. So, you know, if we think it's a 1, you just 1, 2, 3, everybody holds up their hands. I'd hold up a 1, you know, the other guys can hold up however many fingers they think for points. And then, my boss records it. Now, one other thing I want to point out, and this isn't something that I've experienced at my current job, but this is something that I've had coworkers point out to me at their jobs, is that they will get together and vote, and then they'll have a boss or some other interested party actually lean on them and say, well, you know, that's not really a 4. You know, it should be a 2. And I just want to warn you to be careful of that, because if you estimate something, a lot of times you'll be held to it. And we've been held to it, and we actually have missed a deadline because, you know, we just started estimating and we're not super good at it yet. And, you know, we didn't really get nailed for it, but, you know, it has been noted that we missed the deadline. So, you know, if you have somebody leaning on you to make a specific vote, then, you know, that's a red flag. You need to address that and address that as part of your process. And, you know, if they're going to insist on doing that, then you need to see if you can change the parameters for accountability on that and just explain to them that, okay, you can have it at a 2, but then you realize that we're not, you know, our velocity is going to drop, or, you know, whatever your metric is. Now, one tool that I've seen for recording these, or that I've used, is Pivotal Tracker. And so what you do is you go in, you put in your task or your story, and then when you estimate it, you just click it, and you can do logarithmic, which is 1, 2, 4, 8. Excuse me. You can do Fibonacci 1, 2, 3, 5, 8. You can do 1, 2, 3. They have a whole bunch of different scales, and so then you just go in and you just click the estimate, and it'll record it. And then as you work through it, then what happens is it will figure out your velocity. And the nice thing about Pivotal Tracker is that you can set your starting velocity. I think it defaults to 10. And then over the course of 2 or 3 weeks, it'll start averaging your velocity for each of those weeks. And then you get a real good feel for it. You can put it on a storyboard in your office and then just kind of tabulate at the end of each week. Put it in a spreadsheet, do it that way. You know, that works too. Whatever process works for your team is the one that you should be using. You know, there are tools out there that do it. So, you know, just kind of pick which one works for you. I don't really like the approach that we're using at my work, where we're fixing the number of points to a certain number of hours. But, you know, again, you know, what you do is you just try it for a little while, see how well it works, and then if it's not really working, then you can kind of readjust and, you know, see if you can reflect differently. If you're having trouble getting this in place, you may also want to consider getting an Agile coach and, you know, somebody who can get in there and explain to you how to work through these processes. You know, they have all kinds of games, activities, and things like that that really help both the developers and the other stakeholders really get a handle on how this estimating works and how to make it accurate enough so that management and the other interested parties like sales and marketing can really get a feel for, okay, so this is what we want and this is how long it's going to take to get it. Because you're not doing anybody any favors by underestimating things, having them overpromise, and then having to renege on their promises because you weren't able to deliver. And in that case, it's kind of everybody's fault because everybody's, you know, doing things in a way that just doesn't lend itself to being accurate. And accuracy is really what is going to help you maintain your image. And you know, if you have a political situation at work, you know, help maintain the politics there. And that's pretty much all I really have to share about estimation. I hope this really helps. If you have any questions, you can email me, chuck@teachmetocode.com. You can call our comment line, 801-753-8279. And, you know, you can address me on Twitter @CharlesMaxWood. And just any other way that you can find to get a hold of me. I am open to helping you figure this out. and I can probably help you find an estimation deck somewhere and, you know, just get this process rolling for you. And anyway, with that said, I'm gonna start to wrap up here. So go check out newrelic.com, www.newrelic.com. Remember to leave feedback. Also, go to iTunes and leave us a review. And finally, go check out the screencasts. The last one I put up was about the Ruby's enumerable module. I showed you how to use inject to do products and sums and to reverse the keys and values in a hash. So go check that out. And that's about all I have. So I'll just let the music run out, and I will catch you next week.